Greetings again in the name of the Lord Jesus. We have been giving a series of messages on the subject of the spiritual sacrifices we offer to the Lord. I have pointed out before the idea of sacrifices comes from the system that God set up in the Old Testament. In fact, the word sacrifice comes from this system. And in this system, God set up so that the people of Israel would offer blood sacrifices to God. It was to cost them something. They were to give the very best of their cattle. They were not to give cattle that were marred or maimed in any way. They were to give the very best of their herds to God. And these sacrifices would be blood sacrifices especially. There were other offerings they made to God, but his emphasis was upon blood sacrifices. And so as they would offer these sacrifices, there were two things they were accomplishing. First of all, they were showing their own love and devotion to God. We're obeying you, and we love you, and we're giving the very best that we have to you. But the second truth that was revealed in the giving of the sacrifices was that every sacrifice, millions, maybe tens of millions of them, every sacrifice was a picture of the coming of the Lord Jesus, God's great sacrifice for sin. John cried out, finally, in John chapter 1, verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." After that, there would never need to be another sacrifice offered, because Jesus would be God's final, eternal sacrifice for sin. His blood would be sufficient for the sins of everyone in the entire world who has ever lived and who would ever live. And so God instituted the system of sacrifices. Now, the application that I made and the application I want to emphasize again and again is this, that in our hearts we're offering to God the real sacrifices he wants. Other things are important, but we need to be very careful that we do not forget, as Israel forgot, that these sacrifices externally can sometimes be a substitute for the internal things that God expects of us. God will not permit substitutes for the real thing. God wants sincere, heartfelt sacrifices that we offer to God, even as he expected these from Israel. Now, we've taken a number of these, and today I want to say a few words about the sacrifice of integrity, of life, and of heart. Psalm 7. I want us to turn back to Psalm 7. And in Psalm 7, verses 8 to 11, we read these words. Psalm 7, verses 8 to 11. He has this to say, "The Lord shall judge the people according to my righteousness." And then these words, "and according to mine integrity that is within me." And then he says in verse 9, "Let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and the reins." Then in verse 10, "My defense is of God." Now, this word that I'm using is the word integrity. The word integrity has to do with character, what we really are as a person. It's the honesty of our hearts. It's the way we walk in honesty before men, before God. We absolutely can be trusted. We walk with absolutely an open life before people. It's as though if they could see into our hearts, they would see that what we profess on the outside, we are on the inside. Remember in the New Testament, when Jesus looked upon the Pharisees, and in the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew, he calls them again and again hypocrites, because they were something on the outside which they were not on the inside. And so a person of integrity, this person is a person who is the same on the outside as he is on the inside. In other words, that what you see is what he really, really is. The Apostle Paul was often attacked concerning his integrity. You'll notice in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is dealing with a people who had totally turned against him. In 1 Corinthians, he had had to deal with 11 very difficult problems in these people. These people had sinned in so many ways in the Corinthian church. And God had had to deal with them through the Apostle Paul in his word in some very severe ways. 11 different problems, I mentioned, he has dealt with. And now in 2 Corinthians, even though they've straightened out a few of these problems, they have turned their hearts against Paul himself. And their attacks are very bitter against Paul. They're attacking everything about him. Apparently, Paul was not a handsome man. He was rather ugly, and apparently his speaking style was not very pleasing to the people. They didn't admire him. They admired Apollos instead. In fact, the early division in the church had been between Paul and Apollos, where some were following one and some the other. So in 2 Corinthians, they're tearing down everything about him. But now they go to his very heart integrity. They're saying that Paul is greedy. He's after the praise of men. He is after some gain from them, maybe money from them or something else. And so the Apostle Paul is having to defend himself. You see this especially in 2 Corinthians chapters 4 and 5, where the Apostle Paul is setting forth for them to examine the reasons why he is serving the Lord. What he's saying to them is it not true that this is the way I have conducted myself as a servant of God? You have attacked me. You've attacked my character. You've attacked my integrity. And my integrity is very precious to me. And I will not be attacked like this. And so examine me. Again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he speaks to the Thessalonians. Now I don't believe that these people had a bitter attitude toward him. Nevertheless, he sets forth the integrity of his heart before the Thessalonians. And if you were to study this, and we won't do this today, but if you were to study these 11 verses in chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, you would find some 8 or 9 ways that Paul is proving his integrity. The thing that I'm trying to emphasize to you today, if you belong to the Lord Jesus, and you're seeking to walk as Christians sincerely before God, and that is that you are to walk as people of integrity. And this means we never lie, we never cheat, we never deceive people in any possible way, so that when people hear us speak, they hear us speaking absolutely the truth. They can always believe us. They may not agree with us, but they respect us because we are people of integrity. If we run a business, this business is run in integrity. We don't cheat the government. We don't cheat our customers. We absolutely are honest with them. If something needs to be fixed that we sold to somebody, we fix it because we're people of integrity. We don't back out on things. We don't renege on things, we say in English. But we keep our promises, and we live lives of absolute honesty before people. And so, in Psalm 26, David has this to say, I will walk in my integrity. My prayer for each of you, if you do belong to the Lord Jesus, is that this might be also a great desire of your heart, along with these other qualities that we mentioned of your heart, that this also might be the great desire of your heart, that you would walk in integrity of life and of heart, and that you might be known for this, and especially that God might know you for this. If others think of this in you, but God doesn't think this of you, then what have you gained? And so before God and before men, you walk in integrity. And I pray that this might be true of your lives, and may the Lord help you and bless you.